Hey, church, good morning. So excited to come to you via video. I know that some of you know this, that Lauren and I have begun a sabbatical this summer. And what we want to do each week is come to you and just kind of bring you the update of where we are and what we're doing. Here's the big idea. We want you to go on this journey with us. And while I won't be the communicator bringing the message today, you are going to be in outstanding hands. I promise you that. More on that in just a moment. But here we are in our first week of our sabbatical. And really the big idea for us this week was to replenish in a lot of ways physically, just to actually rest some and sleep in a little bit and just have less expectation and task on our agendas. Also, we will spend some time in silence and solitude retreats, meaning we're going away just by ourselves, just to be with the Lord and let Him speak into our lives and hear from Him. I'm also excited to start one of the books that I'm excited about reading over the course of this sabbatical. And so what I would do is simply ask that you would pray for us. Pray for us that we do, in fact, get rested. Pray for us that we would hear from God in these silence and solitude moments, that He would speak into our hearts. Pray that the content of the books that we will read and the things that we will put into us would speak into our lives and build us back up in order to serve our church well when we return from our sabbatical. I'm so excited to do this and so excited that you are on the journey with us. This month, we're going to start a brand new series, and it's a series that we're calling Voices. I'm particularly excited about this for this reason, because this whole sabbatical season, what you're going to hear are voices that are voices into the life of Lauren and I, now having the opportunity to become a voice into your life. So I promise you this, that you will not miss anything because we are not going to be your communicators. I actually think that God has a very unique, very specific word for you through the people that speak into our lives, that pastor us and build us up. Church, the voice that you get to hear from today is one of the most influential voices in my life, a friend by the name of Dan Stauffer. Dan and I had the opportunity to meet and become friends because of the amazing church that he's a part of in Southwest Florida called Next Level Church. His pastors, Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller, not only lead an amazing life-giving church in Fort Myers, but they also oversee a network called the Next Level Relational Network. Pastor Dan is the overseeing pastor of this network, and because of their heart for churches all across the world, they've empowered him to pastor men like me. I'm so honored and thankful for his voice in my life, for his influence and his leadership in me, his friendship to me, his encouragement, and even sometimes his correction to guide me into where God is calling me to be. In fact, Pastor Dan was the first person, the first voice that spoke into my life and said, "Pastor Josh, I really think that you should consider taking a sabbatical with your wife this summer." He was the one that guided this process for us and led us into this time of rest. The first thing I wanted to do was invite him to be a voice not only into my life, but be a voice into yours. I'm so thankful and so excited that he is with our church family today, and the voice that brings such life, such encouragement, and such inspiration to me now has the opportunity to do the same for you. Church, what I want to ask you to do is put your hands together and please welcome my good friend, Pastor Dan Stauffer.
Hey, good morning. Wow, come on, church on the rock. So good to be with all of you, and so good to be with all of you that are online right now, our online family, whether you are experiencing live with us right now or you're watching this back later. We're so glad that you're with us, and I have actually specifically prayed for you. I believe God is going to impart something very unique and very specific into your life that's going to establish you as well as all that are in the room. Hey, can you guys help join with me and say hi to all of our online family today? Welcome them as well. And I know that you know this, but you have amazing pastors. Pastor Josh and Lauren, they love you. They pray for you. Their heart is burdened for you. I know one of the hardest things right now for Pastor Josh is to not be online. So I'm believing, Pastor Josh, you're not online right now. I told him, do not be online. You can go back and listen to it later. But you have amazing pastors that love you. Come from a rich heritage of being a part of this church with Pastor Tom and Nancy, and then stepping into leadership. And so I know that your lives are better, are more in love with Jesus, are more like Jesus because of their leadership. So would you help me honor your pastors as well right now? So thankful for them. I love that I have my family with me. I'm actually going to tap. I'm going to see if I can get this right. There's my family. I've got my wife with me today. She is wandering about. So if you've seen her, and she's taking pictures and videos, taking it all in. And my son is with me as well. My son Grant on the front row. Yeah. So thankful for them. And I've got two beautiful daughters as well, Eden and Emma, that make it possible for us to do what God has called us to do, which is to pastor pastors and to serve leaders and to help care for churches all over the United States, North America, into Alaska, which is a part of the United States, if you're wondering, in Europe as well. And God is allowing us just to stretch the influence that He has given us into these areas. And so thankful for that. And then I want to honor my pastors, Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Yeah. It was in 2001 that they left the only home that they ever knew in small town Indiana, moved to Fort Myers, Florida with only $9,200 in their name to start a church. And if you've ever started a church, which probably many of you have not, which you're better because of it. If you haven't started a church, you're better, believe me. But they planted a church in Fort Myers, Florida in 2001. And soon after they started the church, they were sitting on the edge of their bed in their small 800 square foot apartment, and crying out to God, literally crying, tears running down their faces, feeling alone, feeling hopeless, feeling clueless of how to do this work. And their prayer was that day, God, if you let us live through that, and it was a big if that day, but God, if you let us live through this, we'll do whatever we can to make sure no ministry couple ever has to feel the way we feel right now. And that day was the birth of the Next Level Relational Network that I have the privilege of serving and alongside of them and pastoring with them. And so thankful for my pastors today. But I'm grateful to be able to jump into a message called How to Hear the Voice of God. How to Hear the Voice of God. And we're in this series, as Pastor Josh mentioned, we're in this series called Voices, about voices that influence us, voices that speak into our lives, voices that when we hear something, it changes the direction, it changes our perspective. We see things differently. We're different because of someone's voice. Something that somebody said changed the course of our life. And it could be someone that gave us an idea, someone that maybe gave us a word of encouragement. But I know for every one of us in this room and those that are online, we've all had someone say something or we've heard something that changed us, it impacted us, that it influenced the way that we think and the way that we act and the way that we move. And I believe that this series beginning today and over the next several weeks of the voices of influence that step into this room and speak into this church are going to be just that. That God is going to take something that one of them say, something that you hear that they didn't say, but you heard because the Holy Spirit took it and changed it in such a way that it's going to lodge in your spirit. The Apostle Paul prayed this for churches that he was going to. He said, listen, I can't wait to get to you. I'm praying that when I get to you, that God is going to do something so significant in our interaction and in our encounter that is going to impart something into you that will establish you to the end. So many of us have said yes to a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is now on the inside of us because we did. And we said yes to Him because we recognized that our sin was dark and heavy and weighty and it was separating us from God. And we decided we no longer wanted to be separated from God. And so we said yes to a personal relationship with Jesus. And in that moment, we were transformed. We were changed. We prayed a prayer. We followed a pastor in a prayer, followed another believer in a prayer to say yes to Jesus. And we were different. We were changed that day. And we made some big commitments to Jesus. We made some big commitments to God. God, I'll never do that again, or I'll never think that way again. God, I'll never act that way again. God, I'll never go that way again. And guess what? Some of us acted and went and did and said. And some of us have had the weight of the world come upon us, and it's caused us to question the decision that we made. And so many of us have fluctuated back and forth. Some of you are online right now because you don't want to step into a church building because of maybe what you experienced. Some of us are in here today, kind of in trepidation, kind of hesitant, kind of sitting in the back or sitting around some people, not feeling even that safe right now. I want you to know that God is a safe God. That our Jesus, our Savior, He is a loving God. Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird, but He's not. I've met a lot of people that have given the Holy Spirit a bad name, and He's not weird. He is gentle, He's loving, He's kind. You picture a gentleman, that's the Holy Spirit. He'll never push you to do something, never cause you to act out in a way that you say no to. He can't force you. He doesn't possess us. Today is a day that I believe that God wants to reintroduce himself to so many of us. And he wants to teach us how to hear his voice. Take a look at this verse with me. It's in John chapter 16. And it says, nevertheless, this is Jesus talking right here. So if you've got a physical Bible where when Jesus speaks, it's in red. This would be that. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Turn to someone next to you and say, your advantage. It is to your advantage that I'm going away. Jesus, really, you've been with us. You've been doing so many good things with us. And you're telling us, I mean, everything we've heard you, we saw thousands of people fed with just a few loaves and fish. We've seen you walk on water, Jesus. I mean, you have spoken to us. You have anointed us and we went out and did great things for you. How is it better for us that you're no longer going to physically be present with us? Think about this. Because I think we all imagine, oh, Jesus, if you were just with me, if I just could have been with Jesus just like the apostles. Jesus said, listen, it's actually better for all of us that he left the way that he did. Why? If I do not go away, the helper. Come on, turn to the other person that you were avoiding when I said say something to the other person. Say the helper. Come on, tell him helper. I think so many of us that maybe have been brought up in the church or maybe some of us that are kind of on the fringe of saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. So many of us are in that place because when someone said, God said this and said it, it wasn't helpful. What we saw wasn't helpful. What we experienced wasn't helpful. I'm just telling you, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit's at work, he's helping you. He is the helper. And if Jesus doesn't go away in the flesh, he can't send the helper. And if the helper won't come to you, but he said, if I depart, I'm going to send him to you. And then he says this in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you. Think of this. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He wants to be a voice in our life in such a way that will guide us into all truth. For when he speaks, think of, again, voices. When he speaks, he's not speaking on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So he's going to receive from the Father, and he's going to bring it to us. He's going to receive what the Heavenly Father has for us, and he's going to bring it to us. He's going to say it to us, and he will tell you things to come. This is what God wants to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And if you're wondering if you have the Holy Spirit, look at it. It says in Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Or you could say it like this, children of God are led by the Spirit of God, led by the voice of God, led by the Holy Spirit. Would you join with me in praying? Let's ask God to invade this time. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your faithfulness. We're so thankful for your word. God, let your word come alive right now. And Spirit of the living God, we invite you in this room and every room online that's experiencing this word right now. We invite you into these rooms. Would you reintroduce yourself to those of us that might know you in a way that makes us uncomfortable? Reintroduce yourself. And Father God, make yourself known. Take the words that I'm speaking. God, may they be life. May they be hope. God, may your Spirit rest upon them and may they change us. May we all be changed today through your word. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen, 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 amen. Well, there are different voices out there and we've all heard different voices. There's all kinds of voices, whether it's culture that's speaking, whether it's a wife, a spouse, a husband, our children. If you have children, they have voices. There's all kinds of voices. Culture says all kinds of things of how we should live and how we should think and what we should be tolerant with and what we should be intolerant to and how we should think. And there's just tons of voices out there. But God's voice, he wants to speak to us. And when God speaks, There can be an audible voice of God. We can see that in Scripture. There's times when God speaks, it's audible, and all that means is that you can hear it with your physical ear. But 99.9% of the time when God speaks to us, it's going to be in what the Bible calls an inward witness, or many have described as a still small voice or a whisper in our spirit, just like this verse talks about, all who are led by the Spirit of God. When he speaks, there is a voice that comes. And so look at this verse here, though, verse 16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. One translation says the Holy Spirit bears witness, which means he brings an evidence to the fact that God is on the inside of you. So if you have said yes to a relationship with Jesus, one of the predominant ways that you know that you are a son or a daughter of God has nothing to do with your activity, has nothing to do with your history, good or bad. It has everything to do with the truth, the promise, and the fact that the Spirit of the living God is actually residing on the inside of you. The Apostle Paul taught many of his churches, said, listen, you are the temple, where in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God could only stay in the Holy of Holies, in this special place. When Jesus when he died on that cross, God took the curtain that separated his presence from the rest of us, and he tore it in two from top to bottom, and the Spirit of God just exploded outside of that place to find believers. And when he did, even those that had already passed away in the flesh, it says that they were raised from the dead and started walking the streets. Come on, so that'll freak you out. But that's what the Holy Spirit did. He brought life into places where there was death. And what was contained physically in one specific place was released so that every one of us that are followers of Jesus would be able to walk with that life of God on the inside of us. We wouldn't have to physically go somewhere to find God. We could just stop, be still, and know that he is God because he's residing on the inside of us. He will join with our spirit because we are a spirit. You are a spirit, I'm a spirit, whether you're a follower of Jesus, born again or not, we're all spirit beings. We are a spirit, we have a soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, we live in this physical tent. I know Pastor Derek taught that in the Try God series, talked about the Holy Spirit. That's the truth of who God is. He resides and joins with our spirit. But also in Proverbs 20:27, it says that the spirit of a man or a woman, a spirit of a human being, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit on the inside of you is the lamp of the Lord or the light of the Lord. And it searches all the inward depths of our own spirit, of our own heart, of our own life, of our own soul, the way we think, the way we act, the way we choose, our will, our ability to do these things. So the Holy Spirit is residing on the inside of us, and he wants to light our path. He wants to give us guidance. He wants to speak into every area of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to be a voice into every decision that you're making. I like to say this all the time because people would ask, well, what caused you to decide to plant a church? Let me say this. No person in their right mind makes a decision to do that. You don't decide. You obey. You hear the voice of the Lord and obey. Well, what caused you to make that decision to leave that job and the next job? Can I tell you, church, please don't let it be your decision. Our only decision as a follower of Jesus is to decide to obey the voice of our Father, our Heavenly Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit, to obey him and to follow him. Every other decision after that is his decision that I've already chosen to obey his voice. I just need to have him light the way so that I can walk in that path. I just need him to be a voice into my life, and I want to hear his voice. I want to seek his face. I want to know what he's called me to do. So when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, and when he does, he is on the inside of us for us. The Holy Spirit comes in us for us. If you're taking notes today, I encourage you to write some of this down. If you're on the front row, there's papers on the floor with a pen there. If you're in the other seats, they're there for you. Take some notes today. Write this down. And here's the thing. I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but I never go back and read them again. That's okay. It's scientifically proven that you will retain more of what you're hearing simply by writing. So just take some notes, even if it's on your phone, however you need to do it. But write some of this down because, again, we all need help. Right? We all need help. And if you don't think you need help, guess what? You need help because we all got issues. All God's children have issues. I got issues. You got issues. And if you don't think you have issues, that's your issue. So we all got issues. So the Holy Spirit is in us for us, but there is a continual work of God. How many know that? God never stops. He never stops working. Even when I don't see it, he's working, right? He's at work. He's moving. So the Holy Spirit is in us for us, but the Holy Spirit wants to come upon our lives. He wants to speak into areas of our life for others. He wants to move in us, to speak in us, to help us to become more like Jesus, because when we're more like Jesus, we can reveal Jesus to the people and around us. So here's the question. If the Holy Spirit comes in us to help us, right? That's what the Apostle Paul said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus spoke, he said, it's to your advantage that I'm going away, because when I go away, the helper, the one that can help, can come and help. So when he's in us for others, when the Holy Spirit's in it, whatever you're doing in the name of Jesus will be a help to somebody else. And God wants us to reveal Jesus to others when we hear the voice of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, yes, to help us, because he's in us for us, but he wants to come upon us in moments. And we see this all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the book of Acts. There is an amazing experience in Acts chapter 2 where the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened, and so they were already born again. They were already born of the Spirit. And Luke, at the end of Luke, Jesus had already breathed on them the Holy Spirit, so they were already born again. They go into the upper room. They wait. There's this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit isn't just in them because they're born again. He's now upon them, and they go out, and they're doing something that's helpful. So there's this sound, right, of the rushing mighty wind, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost has nothing to do with those of you that are Pentecostal. Pentecost just means 50, all right? So don't make it weird. It just means 50. It means 50 days after Passover. 50 days after the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, out of death, out of slavery. They were brought out of Egypt. 50 days later, God gives them the Ten Commandments so that they can know how to live for God. Well, 50 days after Jesus was risen from the dead, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can know how to live for God. It's just the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. It just literally means 50 days later. But on the day of Pentecost, God revealed the Holy Spirit, gave him to the church. The Holy Spirit now comes again, right, as a helper. And when he did in that moment, when the Holy Spirit's moving, all these other people were all around, all these different nationalities, all these different races and ethnicities surrounded this place because they heard the sound of a rushing wind. They heard what sounded like a hurricane with no wind. No evidence other than they heard something. The palm trees aren't moving. Houses aren't being blown over. There's not rain, or they would have hidden inside. But they all come around this house. When they do, they all come out of the house. And when those who are in the upper room come out, they have this other language that they didn't know themselves. But it was helpful to everyone else that was there. They said, because we hear them all talking about the wonderful, amazing works of God. And 3,000 people said yes to a personal relationship with Jesus that day. How many of you know that's helpful? Yeah. Come on, that's helpful. That's helpful. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to help all of us. He wants to come in our life and be helpful. I heard this story recently about the first president, George Bush, and his wife Barbara. They were on the campaign trail for their second term in office. And so they're campaigning and they're in the motorcade, and they had to pull over to get gas. And as they're sitting in the car, President Bush is going over his notes for his next speech, and Barbara's sitting there next to him. And all of a sudden, Barbara jumps out of the car. She runs over to the gas station attendant and she's talking with him. And as President Bush recalls, she's flirting with the gas station attendant, batting her eyes. She puts her hand on his shoulder. They're laughing. And then she hugs him and then gets back in the car. And President Bush, kind of dumbfounded, closes up his notes and he says, Barbara, what are you doing? I am the President of the United States. You're married to the President of the United States. Do you realize, what were you doing? She goes, oh, well, that's an old high school sweetheart, one of my old boyfriends from high school. He's like, Barbara, do you realize if you would have married him, you would be the wife of a gas station attendant? She's like, oh, honey, if I would have married him, he'd be the President of the United States. Thought you'd like that. All the wives are like, amen, amen, amen. That's why your life's so good, honey. Well, let me tell you this. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our life. There's so many things that we can accomplish and see God doing, and we can either take the credit or we can recognize, no, there's someone working in me, helping me to do more than I could ever do on my own. So the Holy Spirit wants to be a voice in our life, and he wants to be a voice that we're listening to. He wants to speak. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal God's will. He wants to make himself known or manifest himself. And when he does, again, remember, it will be what? It starts with an H. It will be Helpful. Good. A couple of you are listening. I'm so great. You probably were taking notes or able to look down real quickly. No, he wants to be helpful. And he wants to manifest himself and he wants to make himself known. So what does that look like? What does it look like when the Holy Spirit makes himself known, when he speaks, when he's revealing things to us, when he's talking to us? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I don't want you to be crazy. I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to understand. I want you to know what it's like when I'm moving, when the Holy Spirit's moving. There are difference of gifts, same Spirit. Differences, ministries, same Lord. Diversities of activities, the same God. See the Trinity there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right there. But there's gifts. Gifts are good, right? Gifts are good. Even if they're not good, you can take it back and get something else you wanted using that gift. Get some money back on a gift card to buy something that you really wanted. But it's still a gift, and it's still good. Gifts are good. Ministries are good. When I'm being ministered to, I'm being helped, right? Activities, there's different kinds of God activities that are all good for us. But the manifestation of the Spirit, or the way the Holy Spirit will reveal himself or make himself known, when he shows up and we see him at work, this is what it's going to look like. It'll be beneficial. It'll be a prophet. Not a P-R-O-P-H, not a prophet, someone speaking. It will be profitable. Anybody in the stock market happy when your stocks go up and you're profitable? Thank God for Dogecoin. Maybe not right now. A little too early. AMC? No, not yet. But what happens, though, is for to one is given the word of wisdom. So he's about to describe and about to help us see all of these different ways that he will reveal himself or make himself known. There'll be a word of wisdom. There'll be a word of knowledge. There'll be gifts of healings. Anybody struggling in your physical body? Struggling maybe even emotionally in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. There's some things that if you could just have a touch from heaven, a gift of healing and a specific, and I love how they're plural, both words, gifts and healings. The Holy Spirit wants to do something that brings health, that brings life. Again, every activity, every ministry, every gift that the Holy Spirit is involved in will always profit you. It will always be beneficial to you. It will always be helpful to you. This is the Holy Spirit. And again, I recognize others in the name of the Holy Spirit might not have been helpful, but the Holy Spirit is. And when he's making himself known, he will be beneficial. What else happens? There will be working of miracles. A miracle, and we all need, there's areas of our life where we all need a touch of God that brings something back to life that had died. Or bring something into a realization that had been gone and missing or forgotten. That God wants to do something, that take something that's either not there and make it there, or remove something that's there that just needs to be removed. That's a miracle work of God. That's what God wants to do. Miracles or prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, where you're able to see, not just recognize, a sense of, oh, I kind of sense that wasn't the Spirit of God. That's not necessarily discerning of spirits. It's a discernment that we all have as a result of the Holy Spirit being present. But when the Holy Spirit comes, again, he's in us for us, so he'll help us with these things. But he wants to come upon us for others, which means I'm able to see into things that I wasn't able to see before. It's a different thing. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, right? He is at work in all of these things, distributing. I like that word. He distributes them to each one individually as he wills. So how does he do this? Let's break this down. I want to get super, super practical with this right here. How does he do this? Well, first thing that he does is he speaks into what we know. So three ways that God, the Holy Spirit, speaks. Three ways to recognize when his voice is active, when his voice is speaking. What's the practical evidence or impact for me? If I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm desiring the voice of God, if I am and I'm pursuing his voice, what does it look like? What will it influence or impact? I want to take what we just read in 1 Corinthians 12, those nine gifts, activities, those manifestations, when they're at work, what happens? Number one, he speaks into what we know. So a lot of times I just need to know, if I just knew what to do. You ever say that to somebody? If I just knew what to do. If somebody, there was, for years when we were pastoring our church in New Jersey, I would say, man, if someone would just tell me what to do, right, Pastor Tom? Someone just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Someone just help me. If I knew what, if I just had some knowledge increase. Well, here's what we find is there's our revelation gifts. There's things are revealed by the Holy Spirit that when he speaks, he wants to reveal something to you. Anybody of you need something revealed? Like, I just need to know. I need to know if I'm supposed to join with that other business partner or not. I need to know. I mean, housing market's up right now. I need to know if I'm supposed to sell my house right now. Or I need to know if I'm supposed to refinance my house right now. Paula, I need to know. I need some understanding. I need to know some things. Well, for many of us, we make decisions. Again, we make decisions and go and do some things without really having a gift from the Holy Spirit of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or discerning of spirits. Some things that increase my knowledge of what I'm to do. And I'm just telling you, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he'll bring some revelation here. He'll bring some light. Back in 2006, my family had moved from Pennsylvania. We moved to New Jersey to plant our church. And when we did, I made some really, really bad financial decisions for our family. I led our family into extreme indebtedness. We had 6 credit cards that were maxed out, over $50,000 in credit card debt. Yeah, thank you. Pray for him. Pray for him. Stretch your hands out to Pastor Dave. How about Jesus? $50,000 in credit card debt. Had a car loan. It was over $500 a month just for the car loan. Had a mortgage that was $480,000, almost $500,000 for a house that, I mean, honestly, that house, I mean, it should not have been more than maybe $250,000 home, maybe $300,000. And by 2008, you all know what happened with the housing market. So we bought at the highest. Actually, when we were finally going through closing, the value of the home started dropping as we're closing. I hadn't even closed on the house yet. And we just went forward with it. And we were in debt up to our eyebrows. I mean, drowning. It was just struggling so much. And this is when we're planting the church. I'm bivocational at the time, which means I'm working a 50 to 60 hour a week job managing a Scandinavian furniture store while I'm pastoring our church. And it was the hardest season of our life. And I heard God gave me something in my spirit. It wasn't an audible voice, but I knew it was him. It bore witness with my spirit. It felt right. You ever had someone come and say, I got a word for you? And when they're saying it, like, that's not me. That's got nothing to do. Ever have a guy come to a girl and say, God told me you're going to be my wife. And you're like, dear sweet Jesus, please, no. Just know if you sense dear sweet Jesus, it wasn't Jesus. So that's all I'm going to say. But we knew, like, God gave us a word of wisdom. I knew exactly what to do. Didn't hear it from anybody. It literally came in my own spirit. And I won't take the time to unpack all of it, but literally within less than a year and a half, all 6 credit cards paid off, our mortgage refinanced, our car paid off. God literally removed $150,000 worth of debt from our life simply because he gave me a word of wisdom that I knew exactly what to do. Anybody want some wisdom like that? Like, God, give me some wisdom. I'm just telling you, you don't have to know the details of what he said to me, because what he said to me was for me. He does have a voice that he wants to speak into your life as well. The second thing is this, write this down. He speaks into what we do. He speaks into what we do. And these are things that help our activities. They're power gifts. They're power at work to do some things. What? Gifts of healings. He talked about how he wants to bring healing. Again, the Spirit of God comes upon you for others. Imagine you being able to pray with somebody and they're healed in that moment. It's not for pastors. It's not just, it's for any follower of Jesus. And it's not for how long you've been a follower of Jesus. It's just the fact that you have said yes to a relationship with Jesus. And now you're saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. Why? Because I want to work miracles and I want this special faith. This faith that not just a believing faith. We all have that faith. He's given to all of us the measure of faith for salvation. But there can be special faith to come upon us for special works of what God wants to do. He wants to speak into what we do. He wants you to hear his voice. Hey, I want you to pray for them. Why do you want me to pray for them? Because I just asked you to pray for them. How many of you are parents in the room right now? How many of you have given some instruction to your child and they ask, why do you want me to do that? What was your response? Was it good? Oh, let me sit down and tell you why. Let me explain it to you. No, there was no splaining. The splaining might have been something with splinters, but you didn't spend the time splaining. What'd you want him to do? Yes, Father. Yes, sir. Okay. Just go. So if he says, hey, just go pray for them. But what am I going to say? You'll know in the moment. You'll know in the moment. You'll know in a moment. Why? Because he wants to speak into what we say too. Number three, he wants to speak into what we say. This is utterance gifts or gifts or activities that affect how you're talking. What words come out of your mouth for somebody. You'd be amazed at the times if you're just open to the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, I want you to go and I want you to tell them this. What? That doesn't make any sense at all. To you it might not, but to them it could be a game changer that would change the trajectory of their life. Are you really willing to stop the trajectory of somebody's life moving on for God because you're afraid of being embarrassed? Afraid of maybe looking silly? How about we just step out and just own it? Hey, this might be the dumbest thing. It could be the pizza I ate last night. I don't know. But I'm just sensing, I was praying. I just felt like God wanted me to come and share this with you. And just leave it as a gift. Walk away. If they don't want it, they can return it. Get their money back, right? If they don't want it, but that's not, how they respond is not up to you. Our job is simply to obey. Why? Because God wants us prophecy. Don't get caught up in that. Just think, something that edifies, something that exhorts, something that builds up comforts. That's what prophecy is, or tongues, or different language, or interpretation of tongues. Again, not a translation of something, just a gist, an interpretation. This is what I got. That's what God wants to do. He wants to affect everything in our life, what we know, what we do, and what we say. And he wants to speak into all of it. Look at this. I'll leave this last verse with you. So Paul says, you don't have to get all of it, don't have to understand all of it, but we should desire the voice of the Holy Spirit. Desire God to move, desire him to reveal himself. So here's a question. Let me make it personal. Here's a question right where we are right now. Do you earnestly desire the Holy Spirit's voice? And if you're struggling to say yes to that, there's no condemnation, no judgment. Just I would encourage you to ask the question, why? Why? Why am I not desiring these things? Spirit of God, would you reveal it to me? Let me trust you. Let me trust you. I want us to pray this prayer together. We say it out loud. Whether you're a follower of Jesus yet or not, I'm going to pray, lead us in that prayer as well. But for those of us that are followers of Jesus, I want to pray this confidently. For if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, I want you to just say it along with us. It won't hurt, I promise. Just say it along with us and allow God to begin to minister to your soul. Can we say this together? Can we say, God, say this with me. I am open to your Holy Spirit. Make me ever aware of your presence dwelling in me. Speak to me. Transform me. Empower me to be more like Jesus. Father, I am open to your Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, at the sound of my voice, for every man, woman, boy, and girl that might be far from you, struggling with turning their life over to you for a multitude of reasons. But in this moment, Father, I'm asking that you would move on their heart, remove fear, open their eyes to see that you are a good God and you have good things for them. So as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, or maybe you're online right now, wherever you are, driving in your car, maybe you're at work and you're listening to this, maybe you're on the treadmill, maybe you're in your living room, wherever you are right now, if you have never said yes to a relationship with Jesus, this is your moment. All you have to do is just pray a simple prayer. And that's, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. That you lived a life without sin. You led the way for me to enter into a relationship with the Father. And that you were crucified on a cross for me personally. You became my sin on that cross. And you died on that cross and you were buried. And you paid the penalty of death, hell, and the grave for me. And God miraculously raised you up by the Holy Spirit. And you are alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And I want a relationship with the Father. So Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me clean. Make me new. Remove all of my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. And I commit to follow you. Boldly commit from this day forward, I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that a miracle just took place. That the Holy Spirit now lives in you for you. And guess what? He also wants to come upon you for others. So church, I want to challenge you. Be open be open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to work in your heart. Allow Him to work in your mind. Allow Him to lead you, and you'll never be the same again. Amen. Hey, stick around right now. We've got a video. Take a look at this.